You're listening to Elaine is reading The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Episode 6, Chapter 3, Part 2. Thanks for coming back for more. This is a continuation of the discussion of one of my favorite chapters of the book, Dr. Jekyll Was Quite at Ease. Every interpretation of any piece of existing media is valid, given that media is entirely subjective. And that's how you get wonderful meta and expanded universes and ideas. I'm not saying that no one should create their own version of something that inspired them. I'm only asking, where are the people that like this story as it is written? So Jekyll is, you know, he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, I do not care to hear more. This is a matter I thought we agreed to drop. What I heard was abominable, said Utterson. You heard that, yeah. But when you met him, was he abominable? I think not. When you met him, you were the one that was being creepy and lying and being rude. So Hyde didn't do anything except ask you why you tried to lie to his face. So, yeah, you heard about his behavior, but you didn't witness his behavior. You're just talking out of your butt right now because you don't like him because he triggers you. So Jekyll says, I can make no change. You do not understand my position. Returned the doctor with a certain incoherency of manner. I am painfully situated, Utterson. My position is a very strange one. It is one of those affairs that cannot be mended by talking. Okay, so I can see where this leans more on the, oh, he's being blackmailed. Like Utterson had thought, maybe Hyde's got something over him, something, an indiscretion of his in his youth, or something that's being held over him. So this, you know, this lends a little bit more believability to that theory. Jekyll, said Utterson, you know me. I'm a man to be trusted. Make a clean breast of this in confidence, and I make no doubt I can get you out of it. So again, Utterson is just, he's that loyal friend. Where's that wonderful description that we had, which I think was on the second page of the book, which was so great. In his character, it was frequently his fortune to be the last reputable acquaintance and the last good influence in the lives of downgoing men. So here he is again. He's stepping up. He's like, look, I can get you out of whatever this is. Whatever is going on, trust me, I can help you, right? He's trying, even in the last chapter, he's like, if Jekyll will just let me help him, like that was his stress, if he will only let me help him out of this. So again, Utterson is just such an interesting character, a good friend. He's really trying to just get to the bottom of this situation. And Jekyll says, my good Utterson, this is very good of you. This is downright good of you. And I cannot find the words to thank you in. I believe you fully. I would trust you before any man alive, before myself, if I could make the choice. But indeed, it isn't what you fancy. It is not as bad as that. And just to put your good heart at rest, I'll tell you one thing. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. I give you my hand upon that, and I thank you again and again. And I will just add one little word, Utterson, that I'm sure you will take in good part. This is a private matter, and I beg of you to let it sleep. So this chapter where we're finally hearing from Jekyll, we're finally getting a little bit more information about what's going on. I love that monologue. I love that response. You can tell that these two are good friends. You can tell that Jekyll really wants to kind of confide, like, especially in the way that he brings up Lanyon. He wants to tell him. He wants to sort of, I feel like he's got a burden, right? He's trying to find a way of dealing with this burden, not solely himself, right? I get that impression. And, you know, he says, the moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. Okay, so when is this choice happening, right? Because I'm sure, like, what's in my mind? Like, okay, if you can get rid of him, why won't you? If it's that easy, why is he here? Why is this abominable, gross, rude, ungentlemanly dwarf in your life then? Why is it any of your business? See, this is my business. Here's you in my business. So I like that. I like that he's like, you know, don't worry about it. It's a strange situation and I can't talk about it and I can't explain it. But trust me when I say, if as soon as I make the decision to get rid of Hyde, he's gone and it won't be a problem. Okay. And he says, this is a private matter and I beg of you to let it sleep. Utterson reflected a little, looking in the fire. I have no doubt you are perfectly right, he said at last, getting to his feet. Well, but since we have touched upon this business, and for the last time, I hope, continued the doctor, there is one point I should like you to understand. I have really a very great interest in poor Hyde. I know you have seen him. He told me so. And I fear he was rude. Was he, though? I don't recall anything rude about that exchange except Utterson being a fucking liar. That's about the only thing I remember about that whole thing. He was not rude. He even gave him his address. It's like, oh, it's nice that we should meet here. Here's my address. How do you know me? Oh, we have mutual friends. What mutual friends? Oh, Jekyll, he wouldn't have told you about me. Why are you lying? I don't see anything rude about what he said. Except if you mean that his frankness and his ability to call out bullshit is rude. There's nothing rude about what Hyde said to Utterson or how he behaved in any manner. Utterson literally stalked him for a week, showed up at his house and was like, hi, I'm lying to your face. Why don't you let me in? And he said, no, get the fuck out of here. I know you have seen him. He told me so, and I fear he was rude. But I do sincerely take a very great interest in that young man. And if I am taken away, Utterson, I wish you to promise me that you will bear with him and get his rights for him. I think you would if you knew all, and it would be a weight off my mind if you would promise. So this is sort of echoing even the will, right? Where the will is like, you know, if I have disappeared for more than 9 months or 6 months or whatever, you know, he's going to step into my shoes and, you know, pay off the help and that sort of thing. It kind of speaks to that. Like, if I am taken away, that's a very specific statement. It's not like, you know, if I should disappear for, what is it, a number of... the disappearance or unexplained absence for any period exceeding 3 calendar months. Then Edward Hyde should step into said Henry Jekyll's shoes without further delay and free from any burden or obligation beyond the payment of a few small sums to the members of the doctor's household. If I am taken away, taken where? Like, do you need, like, Liam Neeson to come and get you kind of taken? Like, what kind of taken? What taken are we talking? Who's taken you? But this really struck me. I wish you to promise me that you will bear with him and get his rights for him. I think you would if you knew all, and it would be a weight off my mind if you would promise. Like, he's asking Utterson to take care of this guy. He's asking him to make sure that, you know, he has a standing in a way, right? That he continues in society in a way. What? Who is this guy? Like, it's such an interesting and such a sincere, like, I want you to take care of my baby if I'm taken away kind of thing. Like, it feels that. It has that weight, you know? Bear with him and get his rights for him and take care of him. That's, you know, I said this chapter really shows a lot of their relationship, and I feel like that's one of those parts of it. They're such good friends that he would say this to him. He's not going around to Lanyon and saying, would you mind, you know, I really, you know, would you take care of Hyde and bear with him and be a part of his life and help him get his standing in society and all these things. That's a significant ask, right? That's a, that conveys the value that Hyde has to Jekyll in a very clear way. And also the value that Utterson has to Jekyll. That's strong. And the amount of trust, right? He doesn't want to tell him everything, but he's like, if I am taken away, if anything happens to me, take care of Hyde. He's very, I have a very strong interest in him. He's very important to me. Okay. It's giving illegitimate baby. Okay? It is. Is it not? It totally is. I can't pretend I shall ever like him, said the lawyer. I don't ask that, pleaded Jekyll, laying his hand upon the other's arm. I only ask for justice. I only ask you to help him for my sake when I am no longer here. Utterson heaved an irreprehensible sigh. Well, said he, I promise. There's so much happening in these three pages. There's so much going on, so many breadcrumbs, so much dropping of information, and things that just make you more suspicious, right? This doesn't sound like a blackmail thing anymore to me. You don't ask your friend to take care of your would-be blackmailer if something happens to you, okay? This isn't a blackmail issue. This can't be what Utterson thinks, what Enfield thinks, what all of London thinks. Can't be that. Can't be a thing. Because this dialogue and the way that Jekyll is expressing this, it doesn't feel like he's in danger. It doesn't feel like he's at his wit's end and doesn't know what to do. It sounds like he really likes this guy for whatever fanciful reason. No, I'm just kidding. Like, he really likes him. He has an interest in him. He's like sort of taken him under his wing, and he's asking Utterson to bear with him and help him after he's gone, if he should be taken away. So now I'm more intrigued. Now I'm more like, what is the story? What is going on? He says, I can be rid of Hyde at any time that I choose. Okay. But I have a great interest in him, and I want you to take care of him if something happens to me. Okay. Who is this guy? Who is this dwarf to you? What is the situation? I'm no longer convinced it's blackmail, not that I ever was, but what actually is it? And what's up with the scientific balderdash? What's up with the scientific heresy? What's up with you offending Lanyon and his academic minutiae mind with whatever it is that you said or proposed? That keeps getting swept under the rug by Utterson, but because of that, it keeps standing out even more for me. What is this? What is going on? There is no way in my mind, if I didn't know the story, would I know where this is going? Because there's no indication of any of that. We just have a sus relationship, and you know, two scientists who are on the outs. I'm not suspecting that there's anything weird going on. There's nothing about this story so far that screams, what the fuck? Nothing. There's nothing about it that's, like, way outside of the realm of, you know, what would just be normal. There's nothing screaming at me that this is some sort of weird, creepy scientific fantasy. I don't see that here. I'm not getting that here. So far, this is very straightforward storytelling. I liked a lot of the hints of what's going on and where we're kind of going, and it makes me curious about the relationship. But I don't have any indication of anything weird or freaky or anything else. I don't get that. I don't feel that at all. I'm not picking that up from this. It's very straightforward. I'm very interested in where we're going because I want to know who Hyde is. That is my biggest question right now in the book. Who is Edward Hyde? And why is Henry Jekyll so interested in him? And why is he giving take care of my child vibes when he talks to Utterson? Right now, that is my big question. That is the thing that I want, you know, when I say I want to keep reading. That's what I want to keep reading and find out, because yes, the Willis sus and that conversation with Utterson made me feel even more curious about that relationship between those two men. And my interest is even more piqued now that Lanyon has been brought up again. You know, that argument or disagreement or whatever between the two men has been brought up for a second time. And now I'm like, why do you keep dropping this? What is this about? So that's why I want to continue. That's why I would turn that page. I'm not bored with the story or anything. I'm very, very interested in this. I like the way that it's written, the way that you're getting so much through Utterson. And his perspective is actually a really nice perspective to have because he sees everyone, you know, in this kind of neutral, lawyerish kind of way. But then also he has these deep friendships with these other two characters. And through that, his perspective of what's going on with them is interesting. It's refreshing. It's not just the author kind of telling you from on high, you know, this omniscient viewpoint of what's going on. You're getting the perspective of the story from someone who's very likable, very loyal, very kind, understanding, and who genuinely is worried about his friend. That's what's making this really interesting for me. And that's why I wish someone would adapt, you know, a perspective of redoing this story in some way that gives you this fresher, more real perspective from the outside in, not from Jekyll's perspective. Or Hyde's perspective. Hyde's perspective I might be interested in, right? Like, you know, the perspective of Edward Rochester's wife in the attic. That's an interesting perspective that I was very interested in. The story told from the perspective of that woman. I would be interested in Hyde's perspective. His, you know, way of interpreting these events and being a part of this duo. And his mentality going forward. We always kind of see Jekyll and how Jekyll struggles with this part of himself and his, you know, well, actually, I don't think I've ever seen anyone interpret his absolute sort of disgust with society in that way, but it's always usually Jekyll's perspective that we're getting, his sort of tortured perspective, which honestly isn't really all that tortured. It's just selfish. But I don't know that I've ever seen an interpretation of Jekyll and Hyde that's Hyde and Jekyll. You know what I mean? What about if it was Hyde's life and Jekyll was just that side part of it? That would be interesting. That is something that I would be kind of curious to see how someone would tackle that. That is more interesting than constantly redoing and redoing and redoing Jekyll's perspective as if there's anything about it that is remotely nuanced or interesting or different. I don't see that. Like, I don't care. But I am interested in someone changing it up and maybe giving us either an actual interpretation of the story as written, as I keep saying, with Utterson kind of carrying you through, or a Hyde perspective. A Mr. Hyde and Dr. Jekyll perspective, which I think the BBC series was about. I don't remember it all that well. I'm sorry. I think it was just called Hyde. Wasn't it just called Hyde, or was it just called Jekyll? I think it was just called Jekyll, right? No, that was a different one, right? That was the James Nesbitt series. No, what was the one, the most recent one with that guy, that huge actor? Okay, so there have been multiple. So there was a Jekyll that had Nesbitt. This was called Jekyll and Hyde from 2015. I really loved this series, even though it was, like, you know, canceled super quickly. This one had Tom Bateman. Tom Bateman is that big actor I couldn't think of the name of. And not, I don't know why I mix up Alan Cumming and Richard E. Grant. They both have the same energy. They don't look alike or anything like that, but I mean, they have a similar energy, so I tend to sort of transpose them in my mind with roles that I think either one of them could have played. So this was Richard E. Grant and Tom Bateman, and it was called Jekyll and Hyde, and it had an amazing opening. It was really cool from 2015, and I really liked it. It did seem to focus more on Hyde, Tom Bateman's Hyde, than Jekyll, and I think he was supposedly, like, the grandson of, like, it wasn't actual Jekyll and Hyde. It was like he was a ancestor or a direct relative of Jekyll.
You are.
Welcome to London.
We all have two natures, the good side and the bad side, constantly at war with each other.
And he sort of inherited this thing or whatever. But again, interpretations. I think it was not terribly popular, but it was really, really great. I love the description in Wikipedia. It's set in 1930s London. It follows the character of Dr. Robert Jekyll, a grandson of the Victorian Dr. Henry Jekyll, who has inherited his grandfather's split personality and violent alter ego.
Thanks for waking me up.
First of all, he doesn't have a split personality. Nor does he have a violent alter ego. That is not what this is. That is not what... People, for the love of all that is holy Jesus Christ on a flying bicycle. Did anyone read this? anyone, did anyone on the planet read this book? This tiny, tiny short book? Y'all read Lord of the Rings? Did anyone? This is not that complicated. This is not rocket science. It is all very clear and it is all explained. What? Please, somebody explain to me what in the world prompts people to say they read this or actually read it and just be like, I'm going to make something about the grandson of Jekyll who is actually a split personality or has dissociative identity disorder, and I'm going to make Hyde handsome and seducing all the women. And like, why do you just throw it out? What is the point of... I'm not saying that everything needs to be interpreted exactly how it's written. That is what interpretation is. Everyone has their own version and is coming at stories in their own way. It is very, very subjective. Media is subjective. And I'm not saying that there isn't room for people to do what they are most interested in or take out the bits that they like and focus on those or do meta of it all. I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering, why doesn't anyone like the books as they are? That's all I'm asking. Why don't you like the books how they are? And where is the person that says, you know what, this is so interesting and such an interesting story how it is. I would like to make this how it is. Why is it that none of these classic books are good as written? Why is it that they have to be made better or they have to be changed or they're not good enough and need to be shifted and stuff needs to be taken out, new stuff needs to be put in? Do you really not like these stories? Do you think that these stories are just garbage? Do you think that they're just not interesting or not worthy? Or do you think that they won't hold up? Because I can tell you right now, this is 2024. I listened to the Audible full cast version of Dracula in 2022 or maybe 2023, and it was my second sort of experience with that book. I only read maybe the first few chapters of the actual novel, I think when I was in college or something, but I never read the entire thing. So I listened to the Audible version with the full cast of the reading of the book in 2023. It holds up. It is not boring. It is not interesting. The characters are not, you know, not flushed out or something. The characters, the story, it is rich. It is also scary. It is also kind of terrifying and fascinating and dramatic. It holds up. You could take the book and make a movie or a TV show about these people, these handful of characters battling this darkness and this dark presence. You could make it and it would hold up. You may have to tweak just a couple things, not even, but as far as like language usage or you know, maybe making it not, you know, maybe making it like in modern English, maybe, let's call it, right? Maybe you could do that, but I don't even necessarily think that that's really needed either, because we made Shakespeare, what the Romeo and Juliet that was all in full Shakespearean language, nobody batted an eye. The one with DiCaprio or whatever, right? It was all fully Shakespearean, it wasn't adapted, it wasn't changed. And it was great. And the story is easy to follow and you can understand what's going on. It's not hard. So, but even if you wanted to take Dracula and try to modernize the language a little bit, which you don't need to do, the story is good. It is quality. It is not something that needs to be shifted and adapted and changed. It can hold up on its own. Why won't anybody think this? Why does no one believe it? Why do people read it and say, I love this book, let's change everything about it? I don't get that. Nobody likes these stories. You can't convince me that anyone read these and liked them. you don't mutilate and destroy and carve up and shred things that you love. You don't say it would be better if you loved it, if it moved you, if it inspired you. You don't, I don't get it. I don't get where this comes from. I'm not saying for the 80th time that people aren't entitled to interpret media in their own way. I think that's how you get interesting things that were inspired by, right? I think that people can kind of come in and gravitate towards one character and be like, oh, I would love to flesh out this character. I think that's great. And I would love to see that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what I'm complaining about. I'm just saying, in and amongst all of those interpretations and adaptations, where is the straight to? Where is the person that read it and wants to make a modern, current version of that story as written? Where is that person? Why does no one like it? Why does no one like Jekyll and Hyde? Why does no one like Dracula? Why does every man hate Mina Harker? Is it because she's the most important person in the story? Is it because she literally, without her in the book, you wouldn't be able to do anything or track down Dracula or do anything without her help? Why does everyone hate her? Why does everyone make Dr. Jekyll some tiny little weasel of a dude and Hyde some giant hulking sexual Tyrannosaurus? I don't get these interpretations. I'm not saying they don't have a place. I'm just wondering, where are the people that are doing the story true justice? I've never seen one. If you know of one, if you know of a, you know, a straight, you know, book to screen kind of thing, I would love to see it. Especially of Dracula. I would love to see someone who did Dracula true justice. I would love to see that. That would be awesome. I've never seen it before in my life. I would love to see that. And I've seen a lot of versions of Dracula. I've seen a lot of interpretations of Dracula. I've yet to see one that actually included the amazing characters, the relationships, the humor, the love they have for each other, Mina's importance. I've never seen it. And I have never seen a version of Jekyll and Hyde that I have enjoyed as much as I enjoy reading this book. I would love to, though. So, that said, and I didn't mean to throw the book. The book has been through a lot. When I was originally reading it, I threw it a lot because I was so mad that, like, I just didn't get it. I still don't get it. And I may never get it. But I hope that you guys are enjoying my interpretation of this book, as there have been many interpretations and many readings and many Cliff's notes and whatever those other notes are, the summaries of things that people have written. There's a lot of those, and mine is just one of many. I guess I just really like it how it is, and I really wish we could see more of what is trying to come through in the story. And I'm still not sure what that is exactly. I can't say that I know where the author is going with this. A lot of it could just be noise. You know, maybe the entire story is just, what do you call it? Like a red herring, right? And really all he wants to do is publish, Jekyll's journal at the end of the book, which is just kind of like this manifesto of how much society sucks and how it, you know, it needs to change, or, you know, whatever. Like, maybe that was the whole point. Maybe he just wanted to say that but couldn't, so he just wrote this whole story in order to just preach this one agenda. I don't know. I mean, because that's what everyone focuses on, is the agenda of Jekyll. But there's so much more in there that I think is interesting than just that agenda. And I'm not saying that it would make the most compelling story in the world. Actually, I think it would, honestly. But I just wish someone also saw it and read it and was like, this, I like Utterson and I like this. And, you know, I'd like to just tell the story how it actually is. That would be really refreshing. In and amongst, you know, all the adaptations and other, you know, interpretations that people have, which are also interesting and allowed. I don't know. So the next chapter is where things kind of kick off. Well, I don't want to say kick off, but is where, you know, the situation changes drastically. And if I'm not mistaken, wait, I need the book back. If I'm not mistaken, I think it takes the next chapter takes place nearly a year later in the month of October. So we are skipping way ahead, right, in the story. Nearly a year later it takes place. And this is where things really start to change. And I may do that chapter today. I don't know. I'm sort of tired of talking. So I might leave it for next week. But this is where my opinion, my understanding of Hyde and everything really took a shift. And I think this is also where the story takes a shift. So I'm looking forward to getting into that next week. Thank you again for tuning in and listening to me ramble and repeat myself. And, you know, all the stuff that everybody hates about me. I just really am enjoying this story and I'm enjoying sharing it with you guys and sharing my feelings, and I tend to get a little overzealous. So I really appreciate anyone who's tuning in and taking the time to watch and comment and stuff on Koso, all my friends on Koso. Hello, thank you. I really appreciate it, and thanks for your time and your encouragement and enthusiasm. I really, really appreciate it all the time. So I will see you guys next week with chapter 4, which is called The Carew Murder Case. Bring it on. End of part 2. Thanks for listening to my discussion of chapter 3 of The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Coming up is Chapter 4, The Carew Murder Case. Chapter 4 is where things go from zero to absolute bonkers madness. Hyde goes from mildly irritating to completely insane and beats people with such ferocity that he's breaking canes. No joke! Hope to see you back, and thanks for your interest and support.